Okay, is there, how long are you needing for Arbor Day?
Just long enough to read this.
Oh, okay, well, let's let you go ahead and go
test,
first.
Test.
We'll get to it. Did you want to do a pre-gal?
Yeah, that's fine.
Great. Good morning, everybody. Before we call our formal session into order, Commissioner Fritz would like to read a proclamation on behalf of Arbor Day. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, everybody. Is anybody here to be honored with the Arbor Day proclamation? If so, come up, please. Whereas pioneers entering the treeless plains of the Nebraska Territory were encouraged by the State Board of Agriculture to set aside one day to plant trees, and so April 10th, 1872, was declared the first Arbor Day in the United States. And whereas J. Sterling Morton, the founder of Arbor Day, believes that other holidays repose upon the past, Arbor Day proposes for the future. And whereas Arbor Day is an opportunity to reaffirm our commitment to preserving our urban forest and planting trees for our children's children to enjoy, and whereas Friends of Trees has planted 500,000 trees and native plants since being founded in 1989, and whereas community volunteers, staff and partner organizations work year-round with Portland Parks and Recreation's Urban Forestry Division to preserve and enhance the urban forest so that all may benefit from more than 220,000 street trees, 1.2 million park trees, and innumerable private trees. And whereas for the 40th consecutive year, Portland will be recognized by the National Arbor Day Foundation with a Tree City USA Award. And whereas Arbor Day is a time to celebrate the importance of diversity not only in trees of the urban forest, but the roots of our communities. Now, therefore, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, does hereby proclaim April 22nd, 2017, to be Arbor Day in Portland and encourages all residents to observe this day. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, everybody. This is the Wednesday morning, April 19th meeting of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Before we go to the consent, I would request that we move item number 380 to the beginning of the agenda. Please read item 380.
Proclaim April 19, 2017, Jefferson High School Basketball Day.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, we're very honored today to have the Jefferson High School boys basketball team here who won the state 6A championship. And they did it in an unprecedented manner. They had one loss all season. So we're really proud of them. And we have a proclamation, which I'll read, and then we'll maybe get a picture with the team. Whereas on Saturday, March 11th, 2017, the Jefferson High School boys basketball team defeated Clackamas 70-67 to win the Oregon State A state championship title. And whereas the Jefferson boys basketball team proved that they are in a league of their own by winning the Class 6A state championship title the first year the team competed in that division. And whereas the Jefferson boys basketball program has previously won 8 state championship titles at the Class 5A level, and whereas the City of Portland would like to recognize Ty Warner, Sage Lay, Amari Stafford, Dylan O'Brien, Devontae Banks, Romeo Akil, Isaiah Mitchell, Kamaka Hepa, Head Coach Pat Strickland, Marcus Jehonas, Sayshawn Strickland, Kellyan Vance, Gino West, Robert Ford, Thomas Miles, Trevon Richmond, and Solomon Campbell for their historic win in the 2017 6A Boys State Championship game. And whereas the Jefferson students continue to inspire the community and set a positive example with their good sportsmanship, hard work, and dedication, and whereas the Jefferson alumni continue to give back to their school and community, and whereas the city celebrates the 2017 championship win by Portland's own Jefferson Boys basketball team. And whereas the city of Portland recognizes that this championship would not have been possible without the support of parents, teachers, coaches, administrators, and community members, now therefore Ted Wheeler, mayor of the city of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim April 19th, 2017, to be Jefferson High School Basketball Day in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day.
I just want to check, did we get everybody's name? Excellent, good.
Okay. I apologize if I didn't pronounce it correctly. Coach Strickland, did you want to say a few words or... you want to just have a picture, team picture with the city council?
Come up here and stand up.
Yeah, you can come up there.
Good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. We appreciate you guys having us here. It's our pleasure to be here as well. I just want to thank these young men for the outstanding year that they put forward. And like you mentioned, it couldn't have been possible without our student body, administrators, parents, and the community in general. Glad to be here.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't we come on up and get a picture?
So I know we have a number of people here for the 9:45 time certain, but we can't start that yet. So why don't we go into communications before we get to the 9:45 time certain? We'll do consent when we get to it. First item on the communications. Oh, wait, I forgot. I have to read this. Sorry. And by the way, thank you, everybody, for your patience. These are new microphones, so there'll still be some adjustment. And I apologize if it's hard for people to hear. And if it is, just raise your hand or something, and then we'll start trying to adjust the volumes to make it a little easier for everybody. The purpose of council meetings is to do the city's business, including hearing from the community on issues of concern. In order for us to hear from everyone and to give due consideration to matters before the council, we must all endeavor to preserve the order and decorum of these meetings. To make sure that the process is clear for everyone, I want to review some of the basic guidelines, which I hope will help everybody to feel comfortable, respected, welcome, and safe at the meeting, and also ensure that decorum is maintained. There are two opportunities for public participation during the meeting. First, we have an opportunity for people to sign up for communications to briefly speak about any subject on which they would like to speak. These items must be scheduled in advance with the clerk's office. Second, people may sign up for public testimony on the first readings of reports, resolutions, and ordinances. If you sign up, your testimony must address the matter being considered at the time. Please state your name for the record. We don't need your address. If you're a lobbyist, please disclose that. And if you're here representing an organization, we'd appreciate hearing that as well. Individuals have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, the yellow light is going to flash, and when your time is done, the red light will come on. Conduct that disrupts the meeting, for example, shouting or interrupting other people's testimony or interrupting during council deliberations or speaking off topic, will not be allowed. People who disrupt the meeting face possible ejection from the meeting. If there is a disruption, I'll issue a warning that if any further disruption occurs, anyone who is disrupting the meeting will be subject to ejection for the remainder of the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave the meeting after being ejected will be subject to arrest for trespass. If folks would like to show support, please do a thumbs up. If you want to express you don't support something, thumbs down. Thank you, and let's get started with council communications. Carla, please call the first item.
Item 365, request of Jim D. Wittenberg to address council regarding traffic control and affordable housing.
Good morning.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners, it's good to see you all again.
Thank you, sir.
I kind of wish I wasn't here this morning because I don't feel very well. I haven't for a month or so, but did you get these things at all?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to declare first that my sister is a landlord. She has some apartments out in Lake Oswego where she lives, and she would be pretty much like this woman I read in the paper this morning, who, her name is Diane Cassidy, and she says that she doesn't need government regulations getting in her way of her property management decisions. So she doesn't need you people to be there, and I'm sure my sister doesn't need you either. And these are our properties, they are our business, and the government is taking away the control we have over our own business. I just look at that and I said, how could anybody be stupid enough to say that to start with? But that's the way so many property managers are in this area. They think that they can do anything they want to with their properties. They don't have to abide by government regulations and rules, and they're just getting in the way. Now, does that sound like someone that we have in the White House right now? Do we have these regulations? I don't know. I don't feel very safe with him. In the middle of this thing here, I want you all to know that I realized that I'm getting along in years when, you know, I knew Tom McCall, and I knew Wayne Morris, and I knew Mark Hatfield and Bob Straub and Edith Green and all these people. They were my generation. They're just people I worked with back then, and they were all rather pleasant people. They said hello to you. They said, how are you doing today? What's going on in your life? And I don't hear that much anymore. I don't feel that people in the public office care about me. I just had a birthday last week. I'm 78 years old now, and I'm getting pretty creaky. Things are not working very well. My knees or my shoulders, and it's hard to get around. Finally, these people are legends to some of you, but they were real people to me. I knew Wayne Morris. I sat down and talked with him. I knew Tom McCall. I was in his hotel room, and I went to Miami Beach, Florida for the Republican National Convention with him. He does a pretty good bunny hop there in the bars at night. He was a good guy. You know, he's a nice guy, and he laughed with us, and he always asked me, are we doing okay for you? Are we doing what you need? And I thought that was very gracious of him. Mark Hatfield would meet me in airports, and he'd meet me on Capitol Hill, different things, in a restaurant, sit down and talk with me. These are things that you don't see much anymore. It's politicians so often are just making rules and sticking it to us and stuffing their paychecks in their pocket, and they go home. If you'll take a look at some of these things, I put them out here. Is that it? Okay. That's the end. There are some things in here which I want you to see towards the end. the outsider. It's a great thing when people make unpopular decisions when they're in office. I really appreciate that. That means that they're real people. And the unpopular decisions will get people in trouble. Let's get them away from that. And we're looking at this part right now. Since we're not very popular, I asked last night at the dinner table with my family, which is a bunch of people, we couldn't come up with one thing really good about city council. Now, one thing they said is only April. Well, maybe even June or July we'll have something good. So you're not very popular right now, kind of like the Congress, and you ought to work on that a little bit, maybe talk it up a little bit. I'm going to miss you people because I'm not going to see you much anymore. I'm in retirement. I am there because of health right now. And I just want you to know that it's important to a lot of us what you guys do up here. If you make bad decisions, we all pay for it. And my friend over there...
Mr. Wittenberg, I'm really sorry. We've got a bunch of people signed up.
That $20 million put in that Portland building because we could use it to shore up the budget a little bit.
Thank you, sir. Right. Appreciate it.
All right, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys in the future sometime.
Hope so.
Okay, bye.
Be well. Thank you, sir. Next item, please.
Item 366, request of Ken Thrasher to address council regarding College Possible Portland.
Sure, yes.
And 367, request of Paige Hill to address council regarding College Possible Portland.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, I'm Ken Thrasher. I am the board chair for College Possible, and I'm going to move this back a bit, in Portland. And I'm here to give you a little bit of a report card along with Paige Hill, one of our program managers. And with us today is Emily Williams, a student who is now in college, having transitioned out of high school.
Excellent.
And we want to thank you for your past support of College Possible last year in the education funding, and we would ask that you consider us again this year within that discretionary education fund. We've grown this program. We're in the fourth year. We started with 140 students in Portland. We are now over 900 students being served through the expansion of the program and investments made by the city and many other individuals. We're having tremendous results with our program. We had an average ACT increase of 26% last year for our students. 96% of our students earned admission to college, and over 80% of our students continued on to the sophomore year, and we're working on that other 20% to continue. We will graduate students at a 10-to-1 ratio to their low-income peers, who are all pretty much all first-generation, 90%. 73% are students of color, and 71%, interestingly, are women. So we are having great results, and for the students in that cohort that enter college, we'll graduate students at a 4-to-1 ratio to those students because of the excess of that near-peer mentoring model. So I'll just tell you, the individual success preparing these young people for the workplace of tomorrow and reducing social costs is our goal. We have great metrics, and I'm going to let Paige and Emily tell you a little bit more about it so they can use a little bit of my time.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks.
Hi, my name is Paige Hill. I am a former AmeriCorps coach with College Possible at David Douglas High School, and I'm a current staff member. And I'm going to be quick because I want Emily to talk as much as possible. But we ask our coaches to be one-third teacher, one-third friend, and one-third mentor to our students. And I think that's a really rare and necessary role in the lives of young people. We're so proud of our results, and those come from a lot of really hard work on our curriculum and lesson planning, but I think most of them come from those relationships with students. So Ken just talked about our 26% ACT score increase. When I was a coach at David Douglas, the day before we took an exam, I had this really awesome lesson that I had worked so hard on. I think it was on quadratic equations or something really complicated, and I got the sense that my students were really nervous to take the test, so I threw out the whole lesson plan, and we all wrote raps together about our favorite ACT strategies. And the next day, my students set the record of the highest ACT score increase in the history of College Possible Portland. And those raps are still hanging on my desk. They were really good. So I love working for College Possible because of our results, but mostly I do it because I think we insert people into young people's lives in a really positive way, and I want to pass it over to Emily to talk about that a little bit more.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. thank you, City Council, for allowing me to be here to testify for the College Access Program, College Possible. My name is Emily Williams, and I'm the oldest of four children, and I'm a first-generation college freshman at Portland Community College. I am also proud to be a third-year member of the College Possible program. My aspirations of graduating college with a master's degree in political science and one day working as a member of Metro would be impossible without the support of these amazing leaders. I'm here today on behalf of College Possible requesting that we be included in this year's next year's proposed budget. This morning, I'll be addressing why I believe College Possible is such an amazing program and how it has affected my goals in college education. Most students are confused and uncertain about what to do, preparing for college and entering it. As a young adult, it's hard to find people who can help you get ready for life after high school, especially when you're like me and you're the first in your family to go to college. I have benefited from multiple components of the College Possible program. For instance, they granted me access to amazing, dedicated leaders that are willing to advocate for me and my college journey, a journey that seemed foreign and scary without any help. Through the program, I learned about resources most first-generation college students never know how to find. Furthermore, College Possible gave me the opportunity to train and study for college placement, college enrollment, and scholarships. All this work came with enrichment activities and coach mentoring that I continue to receive as a college student. Without their training, I might not have transitioned so easily into the college experience. The safety net of having a community has benefited my career. Once again, I'd like to thank you guys, for the City Council, for allowing me to express my values.
Emily, can I ask you a question? Do you have any family members here today?
Yes, I do.
Could you introduce them?
Yes. My grandmother, Cindy Williams, she's been a security here for about the past 10 years. She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. And my little sister, Chloe, who's also trying to get into college in the next couple of years. She's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. We appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
And congratulations. Thank you, Mr. Thrasher. Next item, please.
Item 368, request of David Kiff Davis to address council regarding targeting of journalists and whistleblowers and activists by the city.
Keith called me last night and asked if you would give permission for me to explain why he's not here. I know that's unusual. It'll only take me a few seconds.
I'm sorry. I cannot extend that courtesy.
Okay, you're denying him the right to be here.
No, he's signed up, and he's here, he has 3 minutes.
He's going to get arrested. So he's not here because Commissioner Fisher and staff.
Well, listen, then he'll have to resolve that in the courts or wherever. I'm sorry, this is a disruption in violation of council policy. If you continue, you will be asked to leave. Please sit down.
You're denying his right.
Sorry. Next item, please.
Item 369, at request of Farrell Rickarts to address council regarding proposed cuts to the street cleaning program at the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. How are you?
Thanks for being here.
I'm Farrell Rickarts. I'm the Business Manager for Labor, Local 43. I want to start.
I wanted to start off by thanking you for the public budget hearings and for engaging in difficult conversations around the budget. It's really appreciated. Street cleaning, I've spoken in front of this body before, and I worked in street cleaning for 10 years with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Currently, street cleaning is 13 men and women that work the day shift, 14 men and women that work the night shift. They keep the streets clean, the bike lanes clean, the catch basins clear, the ADA ramps clear and accessible, mow and maintain green spaces throughout the city, clean and maintain stairways throughout the city, and they're the first responders in snow and ice, and those teams include some of the most skilled snowplow drivers and anti-ice truck drivers. So just feel like it reaches into so many parts of our community that sometimes just the idea of street cleaning seems like a cosmetic, something that could get shuffled off, and it goes a lot deeper than that, and I think it's really crucial. Wanted to touch as well on the matter of patrol. So that would be the police officers, the horses, and the stable attendants. And it really goes to community policing because they're out in the community interacting with folks. They're visible and available to citizens, and depending on the scenario, what's going on, they're approachable, and folks really like that. They've been around for 142 years, since 1875. So there's a lot of historic value there. I just found this online, the history of the mounted patrols. I shared that with you. And it's got some great stories in there, like Tom and Jerry in 1911, the gray wagon horses. They were trying to figure out why there was a water faucet that kept getting turned on. So they surveilled the building and discovered it was Tom the horse actually reaching over there with his teeth and opening up the water and getting a drink. So they ended up having to shorten his tether to keep him from doing that. I thought that was a pretty interesting story. Finally, I wanted to speak about preschool. It's an invaluable community service. It's a community value, and the preschool program itself is an investment in Portland's families. The structure and the staff are already in place, and there's no limit to the amount of diversity as far as the staff. It's already one of the most diverse staffs among Portland's workers, and there's no limit to the amount of services and the diversity of the families that can be served. And I just think, like, keeping that and trying to, like, increase the use of it rather than shying away from it now is a really important Portland value. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you for being here. We will quickly do the consent agenda items that have not been pulled, and then we'll move to the time certain. It's my understanding. Well, first of all, 375, I am pulling back, and we'll return that one to the office and bring it back at the request of the Bureau, so 375. And it's my understanding 376 has been pulled onto the regular agenda, so we'll take that item up later. Have any other items been pulled?
That's all the requests I had.
Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
The consent agenda is adopted. The next